If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
You know, there's something interesting about fans. The word fan, sports fan, comes from fanatic. And you've seen fanatics in sports not being able to handle winning, not being able to handle losing. But what if your team loses all the time, every year? Every year you've been a season ticket holder, breaking your heart, smashing your guts, tearing you up inside. And yes, I'm talking about the men who formerly wore red and may wear red again. The Chicago Fire, the beloved soccer team of me, my family, and many of you out there. Well, things have changed. They seem like they're on the right track, and I can't even know how to handle this. Their record is pretty good. Actually, they're undefeated and moving forward with a new team and a new will. And I'd like them to just wear black shoes and make hard tackles and win ball games. Listen to me. Our guest today is a guy who's been examining this business of culture. Brian Sandalo, sports writer for the Chicago Sun-Times and co-host of the Chicago Soccer Conversation podcast. He's our guest. Jeff Carlin, former keeper of Palatine Celtic, is here. And John Cass, who thought soccer was for commies years ago, but my friends brought me to the game, and my sons brought me to the game, and now I'm totally hooked. Totally hooked, like a fish. We'll talk about it on this edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN.
Look at this. The Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
As promised, Brian Sandalo, sports writer extraordinaire for the Sun-Times and many other, he's got his byline in many other places. He's been a sports writer for years. What I find fascinating is that he's written about the culture, the winning culture of teams and the losing culture of teams. He did a great piece last year on the winning culture of the White Sox versus the, I guess we'd say, lost culture of the Chicago Fire, the beloved Chicago Fire. But now we're strangers in a strange land. Brian,
yeah,
tell us about this. How do we approach this?
Well, I don't know, actually. I'm on my second stint covering the team. I covered them in 14 and 15, which were not very good seasons, and then 19, 20, and 21, which were not very good seasons. So I don't know how to cover this team right now. It's a new land for me too. There's something different about this group, and there's a different mentality, and you could see that right now. So I'm going to have to adjust. I've been very negative as a reporter the last couple seasons, especially last season. But right now I have to switch gears, and it's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for everybody who covers this team, but you know, there's worse things than having to switch gears. It's a good journalistic challenge, too. It's a good writing challenge to flex a different muscle.
And good podcasting challenge, if I haven't mentioned it. Brian is the co-host of the Chicago Soccer Conversation podcast with Dan Santaramita. Did I pronounce it right?
Dan Santaramita. Yeah. He's, we've been doing that for over a year now, and it's a lot of fun. Get to talk about the Fire in a little bit of a different way with one of my good friends. And yes, we do discuss whiskey, although this year we've changed gears, and instead of having a whiskey of the week, now we have a Simpsons bit of the week.
That's for Jeff Carlin. He loves the Simpsons. I would suggest maybe get a little current and also do a Rick and Morty of the week, but that's just me.
That might be next season.
Very nice.
Well, okay. Just the other day, we were at Jeff and I went to and our wives went to the Fire game last year. It was like in July. They were supposed to have it was so bad. I thought I was going to die. It was boring game. They sucked, and it was like 150 degrees in the stands at Soldier Field. No wind, and then there was a fireworks exhibition that my wife wanted and Christine wanted to see, and Betty, and it was so bad that they canceled it.
Yeah, I heard about that. I post game, I think I was downstairs in the in the press room, and I saw some stuff on Twitter about that moment seemed like it perfectly encapsulated where the Fire were last season, that they couldn't get anything to spark both on or off the field.
Nice. But this year it's different. And for all those naysayers like me, who's been a Fire season ticket holder for 12 years now, every year has been hell. We've gone through the Kelvo years, where Kelvo was the object of hatred because he was a defender who thought he was a forward and would always lose the ball, and we would in his own half, and then we'd give up goals and lose. And before that, there were, do you remember Wilman Conde going on his adventures?
Yeah.
And, you know, losing the ball, and then they score. The other team scores. And now there's a defense.
Yeah, there's a real defense with this team. And there's a few different explanations for it. One, Ezra Hendrickson, who is, I know it's just four games, but he's instilled a defensive posture and a defensive mentality with this group that I haven't seen in years. There's a real organization. You can see it on TV, but from where we are in the press box, you can really see how the players are buying in to being in the right place at the right time. And the other explanation I have for it, well, it's a two-pronged explanation. You have addition by subtraction with Kelvo, obviously. Ugh. And then you also have the addition by addition of Rafael Schuss.
Right.
He was brought in from FC Köln, a Bundesliga club. He's a left-footed center back, so he plays ostensibly the same position as Kelvo, but he never puts a foot in the wrong place. He knows where he has to be. And his leadership is the kind of leadership that players can look at and say, yeah, this guy's doing the right thing, so I want to listen to him. Yeah, he's a captain in every sense of the word. That was one of the things the Fire wanted to bring in this offseason, was someone with experience, veteran leadership. And I'm not sure they could have done better than Schuss. He's got a great head on his shoulders off the field when he talks to us media folks, and on the field, his message really resonates because he never does the wrong thing. I know Shaqiri is going to get all the headlines. Kasper Schabilko is going to get the headlines because he's a scorer. But Rafael Schuss was an outstanding pickup for this team.
So how different is it as a sports writer? Every time I've written, when I was back at the paper and even now at John Cass News, every time I write about the Fire, they go on a losing streak. So I can't even go near that. But how much different is it to write about a team and a culture that, well, that's different?
Well, it's a different challenge because I had sort of gotten into this groove, or maybe this, I don't know, I was sort of in a rut with just writing the same negative stuff over and over and over again. And while it had to be written, I feel like it's my job to kind of hold them accountable and be sure to tell people what's going on. That's not fun writing. People get sick of reading it. And it gets old after a while. It keeps saying, oh, the fire are bad, and just in so many different ways. So to be able to tell different stories and to tell positive stories, I think is good for the readership. Now, for me as a fire writer, it doesn't really make a difference to me whether they win or lose. But as a journalist, it's a good challenge to have to shift gears and to write something different.
We're like Brian and Jeff, it's like after in the time machine, like in the movie, after the Morlocks are gone, the gentle Eloy, the sun people, start emerging back out into the world. Like, what is this world? What is this place? And we're like this. We've climbed out of the mud pits of hell with this team, and we don't know how to enjoy it. We're so beaten with the Stockholm fire syndrome that we don't know how to enjoy ourselves.
Right. Yeah. I had the same feeling in a sense during the sporting game on Saturday, which they won 3-1. They were up 2-0 and then they give up a goal in the 56th minute. And previous fire teams, you think, okay, when's the next goal going to come? Are they going to drop 2 points and settle for a tie, or is Sporting going to score twice and beat the Fire?
Right.
That didn't happen. Right. That's what I expected in the press box. I think that's what other people would have expected. But instead, this team locked it down. They made the right substitutions. And then they took advantage of the chance to finish the match in the 82nd minute for what turned out to be a very comfortable win. And that, to me, is the sign. We don't know how good this team is yet, but it's the sign of a team that has a different mentality, that doesn't expect failure. They expect good things to happen. And to have that created within 4 games is really impressive. And it's a testament to the coach, Ezra Hendrickson, who I know it's very early, but through 4 games would be a very strong candidate for coach of the year.
Talk about some of that. I mean, the culture change is always important when teams just seem to turn a corner, because it's those intangible or intangible things. But have you, noticed any of that? I mean, can you describe some of the ways they compare and contrast of how it may be different this year?
Well, for one, the coach just has a completely different mindset and a different way of looking at the game. I mean, I don't want to slander the former coach, Rafael Wicki, who I think is a good man and a good soccer mind. But for whatever reason, his message never really got through. But it's also at the end of last season, the Fire dumped 9 players. Instead of trying to improve it at the edges and try to continue building off of that group, the Fire and the sporting director, Georg Heitz, cleaned house decisively, and he got rid of people that he needed to get rid of. Alvaro Medrón was a very good player, but not sure how much of a team player. As we said, Francisco Calvo.
That's charitable. The guy would dribble. He dribbled like a U15 kid, like dribbling all over the field, holding the ball. I mean, it was driving me insane. I'm just saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he seemed like, yes, he produced at times, but I feel like at times he was more interested in whether Alvaro Medrón succeeded than the Fire. So you move on from him. You move on from Francisco. Luca, who is sort of divisive, depends who you ask. You see either the goals, yes, or the work rate, no. Then you move on from Calvo. So you change the mentality with just the players. And maybe that's a message to the players who remain, that's like, things are going to have to be different. And you bring in a captain with that kind of respect and cheers. You bring in a new coach with that kind of respect, and Ezra Hendrickson, who has, I don't think he has enough fingers and toes for all the championship rings he has from his career.
Right.
So that matters. And then later in the offseason, you bring in a guy like Shaqiri, who has the big name, the big resume, and that tells the players that, look, the Fire are in it to win it now. It's not just trying to be average. It's not trying to just improve. It's you don't bring in Shaqiri to just be a little better than the year before. So that's a message that gets through to the whole team, that says, look, the expectations are a little bit different now. Let's move this thing into a different level.
One of the things I like about your podcast, the Chicago Fire Conversation, is that I get a sense of reality. And the reality is that as a fan, as a geek, as a Fire season ticket holder for years, I have the Gaston Jimenez experience every damn game, where there's a tremendously talented defensive midfielder who is guaranteed to shut his mind down for like stretches, like 10-minute stretches, and give up goals.
Right.
And I don't know whether the maybe we're too far into the weeds here, but you know, this is not a Fire podcast, but you're on. But I wonder if with Jimenez, there seems to be a sort of management coddling, like, oh, he's great, he's wonderful, and all I'm thinking about is get him off the field, ship him out, bring me a striker or a midfielder or a winger who could score and get rid of him. And I'm hearing all this gushing about him, which you know, I don't like.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, yeah, I get that. I mean, because what he's doing now for the team for most of the game is very good. He's doing a lot of the things you expect out of a defensive deep-lying midfielder. Right. However, there are those lapses, the lapse in the Orlando game where he lost sight of the ball in the box and was bailed out by review, or the DC game where he lost the ball and didn't track back, forcing a save by Gabriel Slonina. However, he's doing all those other really good things that you expect, as I said, out of a defensive midfielder. The issue there is, A, they have a defensive midfielder on the roster named Federico Navarro, who
was better.
I think would do it better. And not only that, but as a designated player, you expect a designated player to, A, not have those lapses, and B, I think that a designated player, you shouldn't be using a designated player spot on a more defensive-minded midfielder. So we could get into the weeds about this for hours. I mean, he's been a huge part of conversation on the Chicago Soccer Conversation, on Fire Twitter, and his value is in the eye of the beholder. I think he's had a pretty good season, but still not up to being a designated player.
People don't know enough about, well, let me put it this way. Newspapers are great at communication, but I have some small experience in newspapers.
Yeah.
They're not good at telling their own story. You know, there might be a slogan like the Bright One, or the Tribune slogan that I hated was once, it was beyond words. What do you mean beyond words? We're about words, man. I had this conversation with the publisher. What are you talking about? But what about Brian Sandelo? How did you get into this business? Tell us a little bit about yourself. People should know about you.
Wow. It's been a journey. So I went to Niles West High School in Skokie. And of course, I was on the newspaper staff for 3 years. Then went to the University of Missouri for journalism, sports journalism, and spent 5 years covering minor league hockey and high school football in McAllen, Texas, which is right by the border. A fascinating place that I didn't take enough advantage of. I spent my time, instead of eating really great food there and enjoying the culture, I basically was complaining that there wasn't a Chipotle there. And and I learned no Spanish, which is really something that I'm disappointed in, because so I stayed there for 5 years and I thought I did great work, but I never got the next step in my career. So I decided, the heck with it. I'm done with sports journalism. I'm going to go home and start over. And right away, though, I fell right back into my old patterns. Joined a website called Chicago Side Sports, which was run by best-selling author Jonathan Eig, who a fantastic writer, and that got me back into the sports mode a little bit. And through that, I got connected to the AP, where I started stringing Cubs, White Sox, and Bulls games. Through that, I got connected to the Sun-Times as a freelancer. And I freelanced for them and the AP from like 2013 to late 2015, when I decided to get a full-time day job and stop sports writing. But of course, you can't take the sports writer out of the guy. And then one of my former colleagues at the Sun-Times in August said, "Hey, how'd you feel like coming back and helping me out?" And of course, I said, "Sure. Yeah." So I've been, and that was in about August of 2016. So I've been doing that ever since. I've been balancing the day job with the sports writing. And soccer is a big part of my relationship with my brother. He actually used to work for the Fire well before I covered them. He has worked for, God, I can't keep track. He's worked for the Fire, New York Red Bulls, Bayern Munich, and Roma. So soccer is a big part of our family, of our relationship.
What does he and do?
He's in marketing and communications. On the creative digital side. He's not working in soccer now, which is a loss to soccer. But he did some great work. And so I cover the Fire, and also I chip in on Cubs and White Sox coverage on weekends. And
you were covering the Sox and the Fire last year.
Yeah, I was doing a lot. And that's where I came up with the idea, where I saw the mentality of the White Sox during the 2021 season lost, you know, Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez. But instead of complaining about it, they said, "Oh, well, next man up, and we'll just keep on winning." Meanwhile, the Fire, any sort of excuse they would find. And that's where I got the idea to compare and contrast the mentalities.
Right.
And to me, it made sense. I mean, I know they're different sports with different variables and intangibles, but the mentality is important still. So I cover a little bit of everything. Actually, we're recording this on Sunday morning, and in a few hours, I'll be going to the United Center to fill in on the Blackhawks beat. So a little bit of Jeff's
favorite sport.
Yeah. A little bit of everything that I've covered. I've covered the Sky. I've covered the Wolves. Done a little bit of everything, but it seems like the covering soccer has become my niche, and it's definitely been a journey, my sports writing career.
You're at a family gathering, like a wedding, with people that you haven't seen, you know, in-laws and cousins, and somebody brings up, comes up to you with a young lady. She wants to study journalism, and maybe I'm there too. And I'm having a whiskey and soda after the wedding, and or maybe not a soda, maybe neat.
Yes,
Glenmorangie 18 straight. I'm just having a little sip, and nice. Somebody comes up and says, "My daughter wants to be a journalist. Do you have any advice?" Because this happens a lot. What do you say?
I would say, first of all, you better really, really want it, because it's difficult. Now, there's a bunch of outlets in the city, but it's very tough. It's a difficult industry to break into, and it's a difficult industry to stay in. So you really better want it. And also, when you're young, if you're in high school, start with trying to nag editors, doesn't matter whether it's sports, news, whatever. See, hey, look, whatever I can do to help, I'll take phone calls. I'll be a leg man for you if you need it. Whatever you need, I'll do it. And then in college, I went to Mizzou, which is one of the well-known journalism schools, but get going early. Get clips as much as you can and try to get internships early. That was one of my mistakes, actually. Not a mistake. Yeah. It was just circumstances.
You didn't know.
I didn't know. And also take advantage of the resources that are available to you. Every journalism school has a career office. Get in with them. Your first week is a freshman. So they can tell you the path to get an internship. Internship A leads to internship B, leads to a job when you're out of school. And get going early. Don't wait. But you really better love it. because it's tough. And with the skills I have, you know, with the skills other journalists have, you can make a lot of money in dealing with pressure, taking a lot of information and making it digestible to people quickly. You better love it, because it's not going to be as lucrative maybe as other fields. Yeah. And it's very difficult with weird hours. So if you're going to do it, you better do it.
I generally say, you know, you're such a positive person, Brian.
Yeah.
I generally just take a long drag and then exhale, not in their face, and say, forget about it. Yeah. Bleep and forget about it. Because I see kids, you know, if they're going to do what you say they're going to do, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But the market is shrinking even as it expands. And as it shrinks, the good jobs are few and far between. And the ones that pay nothing are there, but you have to want it.
Right. I mean, like, I don't really tell too many people about this, but my first job at the Monitor in McAllen, Texas. Now, the money went further there because the economy there was a little different. I never even cracked the $30,000 a year mark for 5 years, but I wanted it. I wanted to tell stories and I wanted to improve my career. So don't go into, unless, I mean, there are people who do get big jobs right out of school, and those people are very good and they're also lucky. But you better want it and you better be ready to sacrifice. And even if you get a job right away at a major paper and you're on the news site, chances are you're doing overnights or you're doing nights or things like that. So you're
Sports agate, right?
Yeah, you're going to, exactly. Or you're taking phone calls to when people call in, like, high school volleyball scores.
And from drunks who will say, how many goals did Gordy Howe? I'm at the bar. How many goals did Gordy Howe score in his rookie season? Stuff like that.
Yeah. We had people calling when I was working in Texas, calling for betting lines all the time and calling for things. And, you know, what's the money line on the Cowboys Falcons game this Sunday? Things like that. You're going to have to deal with things, and you're going to have to deal with readers who do not like you. So it's a tough business. So that would be my advice. If you want to do this, you better know you want to do it. Don't do it 1 foot in, 1 foot out. You got to either be all in or all out.
And that's the same with the Fire.
Yeah.
I'm sick of you guys playing this. Go. Now they're going for it, right, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Everywhere now. I see Fire shirts and everyone's putting up on their social media.
You know, Brian and Jeff, I'm not going to have last year, for 12 years, it was, even to my good friend Jeff, like the other day, I'd say, you know, I got two tickets. You know, the boys couldn't make it. I've got two tickets. Do you want to go? I mean, I'm not going to charge people. You know, I'm not going to sell my tickets, but do you want to go? And so many people say, oh, I couldn't make, I can't make it. I got something. But when they start winning, let's see if they put this thing together, get a couple more players, ship Jimenez out, and get some scoring, and get shore up the defense, because people get injured.
Yes.
We're going to see people, right, Jeff? Some people say, hey, John, yeah, Christine and I are free.
We'd love to go see some winning soccer.
People want to see winners. People want to see winners.
Yeah.
People want to see.
Absolutely. And the Fire, I mean, it's such a fun atmosphere. So I think it's great to see it. And I'm looking forward to John. Yes, I will come back and take it.
Jeff is a former keeper for Palatine Celtic.
Nice.
So, yeah, he's the one who was always screaming, move up, move up. You know, in a loud voice. Burly ginger that he is.
Yeah, I'm not sure Gabriel Sanina needs all that much help right now. although his distribution could use some work. Maybe so he could use some kicks. Help.
Yeah.
Yes, that's his distribution is the one thing that maybe he could use some pointers on. So if you show up to the game, you and the goalkeeping coach can have a little powwow with him and just pull them aside and say, look, you're doing great, everything else, but the distribution has to get better.
As we close this thing up, what do you do about the Chicago soccer haters? The soccer haters in Chicago. I'm thinking of like old guys, white hair, like old as me, white hair, hair coming out of their ears. You know, they don't trim it like I do, you know, with the trimmer. And they're saying, soccer, no one cares about it. 0-0. There's no skill. Shut up. It's not like Urlacher or Butkus. And I hear these old timers with their little white socks on sitting at the end of the bar, looking stupidly at that Ham's beer sign that keeps flickering in their eyes. And I'm like, what are you talking about, old man? Don't you get it?
Just
how do you handle it?
Just try it. I mean, if you don't like it, fine, but you're missing out. Soccer's a great sport. There's a lot of skill to it. There's a lot of athleticism. And I'll just say this. My dad is exactly what you're talking about. He's a 70-year-old guy who grew up on the Cubs. His family had bowl season tickets in the 70s and early 80s, which must have been a blast. And he was never into soccer, but he's trying it now, and he's starting to pick up things and enjoy it. So if you try it with an open mind, you might just like it. And if you don't, then you know what? It's your loss. And
yeah, I don't care.
I don't care. I don't care if you don't like it, but if you try it and you might just like it.
Here's the thing. Think of under pressure, somebody's coming to kill you and you make a 70-yard pass and then your teammate catches it and you don't even use your hands.
Yeah.
You catch it with your feet. You pass it with your feet, where guys are flying with their studs up, trying to take your leg out. And
and not only that, but you've run four and a half miles, and you still have to have the mental and physical capacity to do that. Try it. Try that at home.
And sometimes everybody, you're sitting there and on a hot day, and there's a right back named Lovell Palmer who's trying to take out Danny Rose from Hotspurs. He's mad and he's got pigtails and he doesn't run. And I'm just like, shut up. I'm so embarrassed. But the fire's a different fire now.
Very different fire. And it is early. We'll see how they can manage throughout the season, but they've got a foundation. And that's something you really couldn't say about the Fire since 2017. And that's incredibly important.
Brian, where can people find you?
Sure. So I'm on Twitter at Brian Sandalo, BrianSandalow. You can find the Chicago Soccer Conversation on all your favorite podcast outlets. And my work is at the Sun-Times, which is pretty easy to find. You'll see me covering the Fire, and you'll see me covering a few other things as well. So look me up. You can find me on Twitter. I enjoy talking to people. And even if you come at me as a hater, I enjoy bantering with you about how much you hate me too. So,
and don't forget, don't ever put ginger ale in your whiskey if it's good whiskey.
No, I don't. I make old fashions, which is something that I'm really proud of honing that skill. But for me, if you're going to give me a glass of Lagavulin 16, don't put anything. Don't put anything in it. Just give me the whiskey. Let me sip it. Let me smell it. Let me sniff it. And let me just enjoy it.
Just three drops of spring water trickled from the hand of a beautiful woman. That's all I'm saying.
I think three drops is about it. Yes.
That's it. Brian Sandalo, hope you don't get a lot of blowback for showing up on this podcast with the soccer fans, who sometimes, maybe we don't share all our politics together, but we do share a love of the Chicago Fire.
Right.
Hashtag CF97. Come on, you men who once wore red and may wear red again.
2024.
I'm getting the kit. Not the whole kit. I'm not going to be a full kit wanker, but I'm going to get my jerseys.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Brian, very much for being here on the Chicago Way.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
For Brian Sandalo, Chicago Sun-Times sports writer, beat writer for the Chicago Fire, host of the Chicago Soccer Conversation, and an aficionado of fine whiskey. Don't put your ginger ale in it. That's a Peoria Street highball. If you throw a maraschino cherry into it, that's what we call the Peoria Street highball. Nobody drinks whiskey like that. Nobody. And for Jeff Carlin, former keeper, Palatine Celtic, executive producer at WGN Radio, my friend, master of pies, befriender of cats, and me, John Cass, husband, father, columnist at johncassnews.com. Thanks for being here, everybody. And whether you like soccer or not, I'm not going to try to convince you. The U.S. men's national team is trying to get into the World Cup. Everybody's watching it, except for like old men with white socks sitting at the end of the bar with hair coming out of their ears. And I really don't care. If you want to be that old man, then I don't care. I don't give two figs for what you think. But for the fans of soccer, the beautiful game, I love you guys. See you again next time for another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.